is it Majeski? Is that the way I pronounce it?
The Majeski
case. And would you like to reserve some rebuttal time, sir?
Yes, I would, ma'am. 4 minutes?
4 minutes, certainly.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Anthony Ballady. I'm an attorney with the Suffolk Public Defender's Office, and may it please the court. This is a somewhat unusual appeal in that it's taken from a hearing in which my client was found not in violation of the terms of his probation. What I'm appealing, of course, is the subsequent, what Mr. Majeski would argue, is the new terms and conditions opposed by Judge Sword, by the judge of that revocation hearing, subsequent to him being found not in violation. What happened was there was a 2012 order, a 2012 sentencing order, in which Mr. Majeski was ordered to pay approximately $12,500 in restitution. He was ordered to pay that restitution pursuant to a payment plan. No payment plan was set up. Come 2014, the Commonwealth issues a show cause order attempting to enforce that sentencing order. Judge Sword, the trial court judge, finds not in violation because the order was not you had to pay $250 a month, you had to pay X amount a month, X amount a year, X amount a week. The order was you had to pay your restitution by the conclusion of your probationary period. Then the judge went further and said, I'm paraphrasing now, we're going to fix that problem, we're going to fix that little problem, and impose unilaterally a $250 requirement that Mr. Majeski pay monthly. I think the Commonwealth and I are in agreement in a lot about this case. If it is new terms and conditions, if that $250 monthly requirement is a new term and condition, Rule 1-1 applies. We agree as to the standard of review. I think the only question is whether the trial judge was simply enforcing an existing order or if those were new terms and conditions. And I think common sense says that those are new terms and conditions. If you read the original order, there's no mention of $250 a month. There's no mention of...
But if the original order says the defendant shall make restitution in the amount of $7,000 for Brenda Wallace, $5,500 for USA insurance, payable through the Suffolk Circuit Court Clerk's Office, pursuant to a payment plan, and the payment plan is envisioned but not yet set up, why doesn't the court have the authority first to say, quite correctly, well, we don't have a schedule yet, so we're not going to find that Mr. Majeski has violated, but we need to have a payment plan here. The order directs it. So in administering that order or enforcing it or implementing it, we'll now have a payment plan. And you're not even in a situation of where he's violated it yet, by not paying by such a date, the $250. He's just set it up. So help me understand why that's not administering or implementing, which courts do all the time in support payments and all sorts of things once your 21 days passed.
Well, Judge, I think the court went beyond simple enforcement. If you look at the cases that the Commonwealth cites in its brief, Salute, as to the issue of whether the court can enforce its orders, the court has every right to enforce its orders. And I think the way the court enforces its orders most of the time is through show cause proceedings or through contempt proceedings. And I think in this case, and perhaps this is more detrimental to my client, he could have been found in violation for not setting up that payment plan in the first place. And I think perhaps, and again, maybe I'm conceding something I should have been the remedy for the trial court, but that wasn't. That's not what the trial court elected to do. What the revocation court in this hearing did was find him not in violation. And once it's found him not in violation, I don't think the court can set monetary amounts that aren't in the original order, can set time periods that aren't in the original order. And
so basically your argument is if you don't set up the payment plan, if that's not set up until 22 days after the final order was entered or later, it's just too late to do it. He's got until the end of his suspended sentence or probationary period to pay the restitution.
I think under the terms of the sentencing order as it was written back in 2012, that is the conclusion that's compelled under Rule 1-1.
Counsel, let me ask you, if he had made payment of the restitution a special condition of probation, would your position be any different?
I think it would. I think it would. I do think the court has
I didn't mean to answer for you. I was just going to say the court has the authority to modify the conditions of probation.
I think that's clear. And I also think the Commonwealth and myself are in agreement that this is not a modification of the conditions of probation. This is a condition of a suspended sentence. The order explicitly says that. I believe the judge conceded as much during his imposition of the new order. And Judge, Your Honors, I'd just like to return to what the revocation judge said. He said, this is going to be a new order. I couldn't have asked the judge to say it better, to make a better record for me. This is going to be a new order. He's not in violation of this order.
He does use the verb amend the order, doesn't he?
The Commonwealth was very much on the ball at the trial level and figured out that that was going to be the issue, and then the trial Judge Sword said, this is going to be an amended order. And I know, of course, the court speaks through its orders, and what it says at the trial level is not always binding, but I think just looking at...
If he used the wrong verb, amend the order, but he's really just implementing the original order pursuant to a payment plan, why is that dispositive if he used the verb amend the order or this is a new order?
Judge, I don't think it's necessarily dispositive, and I don't think my case relies on what Judge Sword happened to say at the hearing. The court speaks through its orders. What is dispositive is the fact that the court didn't say, I'm holding you in contempt for not setting up a payment plan, or I am ordering you today to go down to the clerk's office and set up a payment plan. If that's not done by the end of today, by close business today, I'm finding you in contempt. I think the trial court could have done that, but it didn't. The trial court said $250 a month. There was no hearing as to what was a reasonable payment plan, what Mr. Majewski could possibly have paid. It did come up, but it was not considered, Your Honors.
Well, can I ask you on that? I mean, if the restitution amount was the $7,000 to his grandmother and $5,500 to USAA insurance, and if it had been evenly set out throughout the whole once he was released, isn't he paying later and more slowly under Judge Sword's order than he would have if it had been laid out evenly all the way through once he was released from incarceration?
Yes, he would be, Judge. But I would argue that the original order, the 2012 order, did not require him to pay evenly, did not require him to pay same amount per month.
I'm asking because, did they hold a hearing? Because Judge Sword did say, I think you said something to the effect, I don't know that he can do this. And Judge Sword said, well, he's just going to have to make arrangements because that's what he owes. So if he's, in that view, paying more slowly than he would have, unless he gets some sort of windfall at the end of, about 2 years...
Judge, my argument is that the original order does allow for the idea that on the last day of his probation, he gets $12,500 from a will or from winning the lottery and pays it. And he's fully in compliance under the original order.
Can I ask you about Joint Appendix 29? And I'm certainly not, I'm not trying to press you here, but as you represented him well below in the trial court. But there you say, if the court wishes to impose strict payment plans, I think he would set up a payment plan today. But I think if the court wants to impose conditions, I believe the court could. And then you say, but at this point, I don't think he's in violation. So are you not saying at that point that you think the court could do what it ended up doing here?
Judge, I suggested at the time perhaps that the court do something illegal, something that the court didn't have authority to do. When the court did impose the payment plan unilaterally, I didn't suggest terms. I think, Judge, what I'd suggest to the court is that he set up a payment plan to the clerk's office according to the way we typically do it. And I know this isn't in the record, but there are time to pay guidelines and other ways that payment plans are set up. I think that's what I had suggested. And in any event, Judge, if I did suggest that the court do something illegal or something the court did not have the authority to do, when the court did try to impose that illegal order, from my perspective, it's a legal order, it's modification, I then noted my objection. And I think if the court is suggesting that it was not preserved, I would disagree, because I did, subsequent to that original statement, did object. Judge, the issue here is purely whether the court was simply enforcing an original order or imposing new terms, modification, new terms and conditions. And I think when you look at the fact that the court has ordered $250 a month, the court has ordered monthly payments, and there's no mention of monthly payments, there's no mention of amount other than the $12,500 that he would ultimately have to pay, I think it's undeniable that those are new terms, new conditions. I would also ask the court to note that the original order says payable to the Suffolk Circuit Court pursuant to a payment plan. It does not actually say that the payment plan has to be set up with the Suffolk Circuit Court. There is, I would think, some argument that perhaps Mr. Brzezinski was on an unusual payment plan that was dependent on him receiving a windfall near the end of his probationary period. In any event, he was not in violation of the original sentencing order. He was not in violation of the terms of his suspended sentence. The court found as much, and then the court amended the terms of his suspended sentence. And I would say that Rule 101 compels this court to vacate that order. And, Judge, if there are no further questions, I would rest my brief.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Gene Murphy for the Commonwealth. There was, of course, no modification of the order here. There's no reduction in the amount of the restitution, no increase, and it wasn't eliminated. What we have is a carrying through of the original order. The original order says he will pay so-and-so so much through a payment plan. The payment plan was not set up. We get to the point where he has not paid in 2 years since his release from custody, and he has a certain amount left to pay by the end of the period. He suggests that, well, okay, set up a plan, but I want more time. The judge says, no, I'm not giving more time. He didn't say whether he could or couldn't do it. He said, I'm going to use the same period we've already set in the original order, but we're going to implement this payment plan. We have a payment plan required under the order. It hasn't happened, and as a consequence, you haven't paid any restitution. So we're going to fix that. We're going to set a payment plan. Well, let's see. How much time do you have left? How much do you owe? Let's divide it evenly into the periods, and that is what your payment plan will be. I will implement that through an order, which is not, it's an order to enforce the prior order. That is, the order directed payment by that time through a payment plan. I'm just implementing that order by now establishing a payment plan that should have been established by you in the probation department several years ago.
Can I ask you on that? In the support matters in the civil side, you know, we see orders from the court implementing or enforcing matters all the time. But on the criminal side, is there case law you can cite to us that says once 21 days has passed that the court can go ahead and flesh out the terms of the original order with a payment plan?
I don't know. If I did, Your Honor, I would have cited them. If they're not in the brief, we don't have them. But, I mean, it's clear. What the prohibition is against modifying an order or a judgment. Well, you don't modify something when you, in fact, fulfill it. I mean, there is supposed to have been a payment plan. The judge could have himself drawn it up then and attached it to the order. He says, well, the payment plan will be part of my order that will be drawn up. And I'm just now, because the other people haven't done it, I'm going to do that. And it seems to me that you can't seriously say that the court cannot do that when, in fact, it has already ordered the payment plan. The people who were supposed to do it didn't do it. He says, okay, you guys didn't do it. Here's the payment plan. And I think that's entirely legitimate, and it makes perfect sense here. I mean, what the suggestion is, well, he should have found him in contempt, and then he could have done it. What's the point of that? I mean, why would you want to do that, go through that charade, basically? Well, the judge did exactly what he should have. He said, wait a minute, right now, without a payment plan, you don't have to pay anything until the end. You could pay it all at the end.
But the judge actually found he had not violated anything yet. He was not in contempt.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, what I'm saying is that, yeah, he said that, no, you won't be in violation until you get to the end and you haven't paid it. So I can't really find you in through a violated probation or the suspended sentence, but I can certainly make clear that what I originally ordered has to be carried out from now on.
So I guess my question is, what would be the point of doing a show cause if he's not in violation?
Well, exactly right. I mean, the point is he would not have been. I mean, the mere fact that he hasn't made payments yet, since there's no payment plan, I think the judge is right. That doesn't. So the only thing he has is to, let's say, nothing has happened. You haven't really violated, although clearly by the spirit of the order he has violated by not doing anything. But in fact, he has not legally violated the order. He should be directed from now on to pay. The judge would certainly say, you haven't followed my order really yet, but from now on I want you to follow it, and I will make it clear this time that this is what you have to do. You have to make payments on your restitution, and I'd like you to clear it up by the end of the period, and in order to do that, you have to pay this much. I think that's just a clear modification of his original order that is permitted under the authority of the court to enforce its orders.
Counsel, are you saying that despite the fact that the language said pursuant to a payment plan, the fact that he did not produce any evidence that he had in fact set up a payment plan was not enough to find him in contempt?
I'm not entirely sure. And that was not argued. That might be a basis for a contempt.
I would think it would, wouldn't it? If it's not just you've got to make the payment by the end of... you've got to make this payment, period. It provides a method by which the payment has to be made, which is setting up the payment plan.
I guess the question would be whether the probation department dropped the ball here, or whether he was supposed to, affirmatively been a director, you go downstairs now to the probation department and set up a plan.
But that was not a condition of probation.
No.
It was a separate condition.
Well, what I'm saying, that may well be.
Okay.
I mean, that wasn't discussed, but the judge said the mere failure to pay anything wasn't a violation. But clearly, I mean, he should have done something. I think that everybody realized that. The judge said, you haven't done anything yet. You're not going to do anything until you enact this law. So I'm going to just fill out the details of the payment plan, and I think the court certainly could do that. And for those reasons, I would request that you affirm that order.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll be very brief. There are just a couple of things I'd like to say in response. The courts do set up explicit payment plans in sentencing orders. They do it every day. The Commonwealth, and I believe myself as well, cited the Reinke case, which condemned a sentencing order or an agreement that contained explicit payment plans set up by the court, something like $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month. That was not set up in this case. The court could have set up a payment plan on the day of sentencing back in 2012 if it wanted to, or if it was inclined to do so. It did not. 2014, without any kind of violation or any kind of finding of contempt or finding of violation of probation, it does set up that payment plan. And that's an error. It's well outside the 21 days. It's 2 years outside the 21 days. And finally,
I gather from your argument, it wouldn't really matter whether it was on the 22nd day or 2 years later or 10 years later.
I think reading the statute, no. I think from a fairness perspective, this actually cuts against the Commonwealth's argument that 2 years later, now we're changing the conditions of probation. And what I'd like to add, Judge, is that this goes beyond mere enforcement in the sense that it's adding a new way that my client could be in violation of the terms of his probation.
Actually, it's the terms of the suspended sentence, right?
Misspoke.
No,
court.
That's right.
Yes,
I just wanted to be sure.
Yes, ma'am. You're correct.
Okay.
Thank you for catching that.
That's okay.
A violation of the terms of his suspension, because now if he doesn't pay every month, he's now in violation. and that was not a term of the suspended sentence that was in place before. It's a new method by which my client could have been violated, and that goes beyond mere enforcement. That's a new condition. And with that, Judge, I conclude my argument. If there are no further questions.
Thank you.